Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. We're looking at the definition of faithfulness. We're looking at the hindrances of faithfulness. And we're also going to be looking at the benefits of faithfulness. And so I'll touch on just the definitions in the way of introduction of this morning, and then we'll continue on. But let's read that verse together in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. We'll read it together. Ready? Begin. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Can we just put that down just a little bit, the microphone, if you can? Thank you, Gilbert. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Now, the Bible's not saying that this faithful man, or even in Proverbs 31:10, this virtuous woman cannot be found. It's very rare to find this virtue of character. They can be found, but it's very rare. And I hope that you can be found in God's eyes to be found faithful and to have this character trait now and to the day you stand before God. And so we're looking at the definitions, we're looking at the hindrances and also the benefits of faithfulness. Now, the first definition that we found was in Exodus chapter 5. You don't have to turn there, but we said the definition to faithfulness is to stay true to your word. And the Bible talks about he that wants to vow a vow, make sure that he keeps it or he keeps his promise before God. So faithfulness is to keep your word. And the hindrance is making hasty decisions. So be careful what you commit to. Be careful what you promise. And make sure that you follow through. The hindrance could be when you're just making those decisions with haste. And we spoke about specifically important decisions like marriage, for instance. Okay? Well, the benefits of staying true to your word is a healthy marriage. Amen? An enriched marriage. And so we had that to be the first definition. Second definition is in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in, to continue in, to abide, to remain. Okay, and then the third definition we saw was in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, that they may, who shall be able to teach others also. And so the definition is a committed and trustworthy person. And the next definition we found in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, it's in the verse, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in. And so to be faithful is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in. And then we saw the next definition, which is 2 Timothy 4:2, to preach the word, and we're looking at this phrase, be instant, in season, and out of season. And we spoke about how it's easy to be faithful in the good times, isn't it? It's easy to be faithful when everything's going well, the finances are paying your bills, your health is kicking in very good, you're not really feeling that bad. And sometimes we have moments of, I don't really feel like it. And so at those times, God wants us to be faithful. At the out of season times, we need to be in our place, in the good times and in the bad times. Okay, and what we're going to look at tonight as we're going to continue is the next definition is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. If you turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Actually, let's back it up. We'll continue in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. I've added this to the message tonight, considering the fact that we are going to have the Lord's table. So I've added this in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And all the way to verse 42. And then we'll come back to 2 Timothy 2:3. The Bible says there, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, as Peter was preaching, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And then that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now notice the definition, and they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. This is to be earnest toward. This is to be adhere closely to be consistently or diligent to. So they didn't just continue, but they continued steadfastly. And so they continued in what? The apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You can see this definition of faithfulness is to continue steadfastly, to be earnest, to be diligent, to closely look upon these things which are mentioned. What are the hindrances? What are the hindrances? Well, I believe the hindrances when clashing with seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and being found in God's house is getting our priorities in order. Sometimes we can have our priorities all mixed up and we can have them jumbled up and we can just forget the things regarding or pertaining to the Christian life or things regarded to God. And so the hindrance is forsaking the brethren or forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. As the Bible mentions, there are people that are forsaking and they're getting their priorities mixed up. They're not thinking about putting God first in their lives. And so we see that the definition is to continue steadfastly, watch closely at the apostles' doctrine. Let me make a mention of this. Some people believe the gospels over the epistles. But it's clearly that the early church continued in the epistles of the apostles. So their word was just as scripture or gospel, if you would, as Jesus Christ's word. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. So we must look closely, not only into the Gospels, and not only in the Old Testament, but also the epistles which were written for our New Testament age, for our church age, if you would. Okay, and then they continued in fellowship. They continued in fellowship. They gathered together. They were in partnership and fellowship for this cause of bringing about, if you would, the gospel and fulfilling the Great Commission. Not only were they the fulfillment of the Great Commission, but they were called to be working together to fulfill the Great Commission. And so they were continuing faithfully together in fellowship and also breaking of bread. This is not, as I mentioned and have mentioned a few times, this is not taken seriously in churches today. You know, it's not taken serious. This is one ordinance which the Lord would have us to, remember or view or you know. Does this take over the place of the Passover? For the New Testament age, it's our time of remembrance. The Passover was something that they looked toward, the future, but we look back to the future and we see what Christ had done on that cross and we remember what he went through for us. And so this is something that they continued steadfastly. They heard, are we going to have the Lord's Supper? Are you going to be there? Absolutely. I mean, these people weren't just saying, yeah, we're going to be there. They were just saying, of course we're going to be there. They were making sure that it was on their calendar. They were making sure that they didn't miss it. They were making sure, and it was a priority in their lives. But not only that, but prayers. And hopefully, God willing, next month, we're going to look into that prayer. And we're going to see, just been pondering upon some messages, especially when I was in the Solomon Islands on prayer. And God's challenged me in this area. I mean, a timely reminder of something that is always lacking and always can be better in our lives. But they continued in prayers together. I really believe that Wednesday night is a vital time of praying together. Amen. We come together midweek, we stop and we pray and we need more of it. And let me say this to you, if you can come early on a Sunday morning and you can just find your place and be in prayer, prayer that God will bring in visitors or prayer God will work in your heart and settle your heart. Sometimes we get in and we prepare for preaching, we prepare for song, but I think we need to prepare in prayer so God can work with what we prepare, amen? So without God in having his divine power in what we do, it's all for nothing. And so we need God's divine power in all that we do, and so they continued steadfastly in prayer. But see, when you have your priorities mixed up, it could be a hindrance. But what are the benefits? Well, the benefits is, well, not forsaking ourselves together as the manager, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, the church of God was for the reason of coming together and encouraging one another to keep on keeping on. I don't know about you, but when I see your faces, that encourages me to come next week. Absolutely. And sometimes when you don't see someone in their place or the body or one part is missing, you go, where are they? And, you care for them. It's part of the body of Christ. And so your presence is encouraging. Your presence is encouraging to other people, especially in these last days, in these dark days where the things of God are treated flippantly. So the benefits are exhorting one another, encouraging one another. And also we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. We see the benefits is unity. This wonderful unified body of Christ for God's glory. So that's the benefits of continuing steadfastly in the things which we have just mentioned. Now the next definition is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay, that word there, endure hardness, is to undergo hardship. In other words, not to give in or give up during the times of heated up battles, if you would. And let me say, there is going to be heated up battles. And that's not the time to just let your guard down. That's not the time to just quit and finish. This is the time where perhaps another brother, perhaps, or your family, if you would, need you to keep on keeping on in the heat of the battle. Now, every single one of us are going to face strong battles that would come. And we spoke about trials in the last months, but these trials should be, or these battles, if you would, should be all the more that we'd continue faithfully serving God, faithfully doing what God would have us to do. In the time of battle, when things get tough and rough, and there's trouble, that's when God wants a person to be found faithful. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now think about that for a moment. I'm depending upon someone. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble, when I need that person most, is like a broken tooth. Now, have you ever had a broken tooth? And it causes a bit of pain. And when stuff gets in, it's painful. And so God is saying in His Word that unfaithful people can be painful. Frustrated employers and bosses and managers, if you would, teachers and what have you in different capacity. But all the more in the work of the Lord. And the Bible says a foot out of joint. You can't really put some stress on a, you know that, David, don't you? When you got a foot out of joint and you want to put your weight on that, it buckles. And in that time, that when you need that person most and you're depending upon them, you buckle. And so you can't really depend upon them. They let you down in the last minute. Okay? Someone said Christians are like wheelbarrows. They need pushing. Christians are like canoes. They need paddling. Christians are like kites. They need to be kept on a string. Like footballs, you can't tell where the ball is going to bounce next. Like balloons full of wind ready to blow. Like trailers must be pulled. Like lights going off and on. And like kittens content when patted. But he said some Christians are like the North Star. They're there when you need them, they're dependable, and they're loyal. And like we said this morning, they're a breath of fresh air. A faithful man is a breath of fresh air, or a faithful woman is a breath of fresh air. Now, what is the hindrance in the context in which we're looking at? It's found in verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That is the hindrance, folks. That is the hindrance. When you start to entangle yourself, we even, in the second verse today, tonight, we sang about it, that you're not fit to be a soldier in the Lord's army if you're going to be wrapped up still in the pleasures and the leisures of this life. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And so we all understand the fact that we do have responsibilities, amen? We do all have responsibilities to fulfill. There's no doubt about that. That goes without saying. We need to work. We need to put food on the table. We need to support the work of the Lord. We have responsibilities that we need to fill. But the Christian is not wrapped up with their responsibilities. They're not governed or pushed or enslaved by a mortgage and crippling their responsibility, what God will have them to do. They're not entangled. Oh, they're not lured, if you would, to just simply be getting everything and anything what this world offers. Sometimes people are just chasing their tail, trying to catch up. And so I understand the fact that we all do have responsibilities, but if we are going to continue to endure hardness, we cannot in any way, shape or form be hindered by the pleasures, the leisures of this life. We cannot be entangled with the pleasures and leisures of this life. We need to be in the battle. We need to be found there every morning. Let me say this, the benefits, the opportunity to please God. Man, what an opportunity, the Bible says in verse 4, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, can you understand this for a minute now? God has given you an opportunity every day to wake up and report to him and say, God, how am I going to please you today? I thank God that God has given us an opportunity every day to say, God, I want to please you and not please me. I want to please you and not please this flesh. Because it's easy to wake up and say, how am I going to spend this day on me? Instead, it's like, Lord, I want to please you. How am I going to spend this day for you? And so that's a benefit. I don't know about you, but I see it as a great privilege and a benefit to report to God and say, God, what an opportunity that you have given me by faith and love to please you, not by legalism, not by fear, not for reward. I think it was Spurgeon that once said that it is a reward in itself to serve God. And what a privilege and what a blessing that is that we can be chosen in the Lord's army as a soldier. And he's chosen us, folks. Wow. Isn't that a blessing? That's a wonderful thing. That God has chosen you and I to please him. And the way we need to please him is what? Be found faithful. Endure hardness. And then we're going to see the next definition. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. This has the same word, if you would. I thought I'd use it right just after 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. He says, therefore, Paul the apostle speaking to Timothy, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Now, the same is true, enduring or undergo hardship, but this is to keep on keeping on in the midst of suffering. Because you know what? Sometimes you're going to get wounded in the battle. Absolutely. You're going to get wounded. And there are going to be casualties. And you say, what are the hindrances? Well, persecution is one. False accusation is another. You read Paul's life throughout and you see how many times he was falsely accused, even from the church of Corinth. Paul the apostle had to defend himself time and time again, his apostleship. He at times said and admitted that he spoke like a fool, but he'd do it for the sake of cutting the ground of some that will manipulate and take advantage of the church. And so he spoke as a fool and said, look what I've done in Christ. Not that he wanted to boast, but to show that his faithfulness was, you know, legit and genuine before God. Now, he was accused, he was mistreated, and note that he was in prison. Notice verse 9, the verse before that. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as what? An evildoer, even unto bonds. But thank God, look, notice what he says, but the word of God is not bound. And it reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, you try to shut up these disciples, the rocks will come and get up and speak. Amen? The word of God is not bound. And so we need to continue, we need to endure, we need to suffer for the sake of what? What's the benefit? Verse 10. And the second part, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. People being saved. Sheep being found. He said, I suffer all this like an evildoer. I'm in prison. I'm in bonds. And I'm continuing to be faithful. Why? So people are being saved. They're hearing the word of God. No matter what you do to me, the word of God is not going to be bound. And by the way, by my example, it made many brethren confident in Philippians chapter 1 to speak the word with much boldness. You know, I don't know about you, but the faithfulness of these men and women have impacted my life. The hardship and the sufferings of this, and God willing, maybe later in the year, I'd like to do it. The biographies of men and women that God used. I remember in Bible college, I was sitting there and sometimes I'll just read their life and I'll just be crying in some lecture classes. Just seeing their lives and some lost, child after child and different things taking place. And you think, man, that's faithfulness, even in the midst of suffering and hardship and losing loved ones. I thank God that God had continued to burden my heart to continue on with the prison ministry. A prison ministry, very frustrating, paperwork, red tape, political thing. I mean, when you're dealing with different things and paperwork like that, it takes a very long time to get someone cleared and in prison. And not only that, but it takes a very long time to find a prison and to finally get the thumbs up, green light. But every time I've seen God use an officer in prison that's not saved, it's like he raises up a governor and he sets down one. It's just amazing how some love us and some don't. And he just works things in such a way where, you know, they're in favor of us and he opens this door and he closes this door. But, you know, for some of the people that are enlisting, they've got to do those forms a few times. They've got to go and travel an hour to the prison again, get it witnessed. Some of them just are really going through a tough time to get in. And you say what? For the report that we heard yesterday, finally going in Emu Plains after months and months of trying to get in, get people cleared, and we hear a report of 15 girls coming out, and three of them bow their head and hearts to receive Christ as their Savior. And not only that, but the officer now saying, would you get another group together when you come in? Half can play volleyball and half can do some cooking. So the ladies that don't play volleyball and they're cooking at just this time can be reached. Where'd she come from? You know, the word of God is not bound, but we need to endure. You know, everything's not going to come on a silver platter for us. You know, it's not going to come there ready. Thank God for the times that they do. But sometimes you're going to have to fight tooth and nail, mate. You're going to have to just keep going and there's going to be, papers lost. And in the beginning, I was getting frustrated. So what's the use? Yeah, about 3-4 times sending in the same, you know. That's why I say, please pray for these clearances. They get lost. They're in faxes here, there. Oh, it's just, sometimes it's just a mess. But we go through these sufferings and we continue on, so people are being saved. People are hearing the word. Sheep are being found. Now, next definition, but before I do go there, I want to say this to you, something to think about. What would it take to stop you? In the capacity of whatever things that you are responsible in doing in your calling, in your course, in your responsibilities as a parent, if you would, or just as working a job or even a student. If God's called you to that and you know that, in marriage, if God's called you and you've vowed before God, what would it take to stop you from not being committed? What would it take? And look at that and say, well, identify it. It's not worth it. You just got to keep enduring. And that's what faithfulness is. He suffered what? He accused you like an evildoer. The guy was preaching the gospel. They're going out telling the good news. And like I mentioned this morning, you're giving in this relationship. You're working hard for your boss. You're doing all things right and you're not seeing anything in return. It's okay. He's watching. He's watching you. You don't need to be a little kiddie, Christian that needs a pat on your shoulder. If you don't get one, it's okay. Just do it for him. And so we just endure for the sake of who? For him. and for the sake and the benefits of those elect. He said, I suffer like an evildoer for the elect's sake. And then next definition is found in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28, now, little children, note that word, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. To abide is to dwell, to stay. Abide in him. What is the hindrance? Not walking with the Lord? Not walking in the Spirit of God? Look at not having a teachable spirit? Not allowing the Spirit of God to continue to work in you. Notice verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit, much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Let me just say, maintain a walk with God. Maintain a teachableness, if you would. Maintain a teachable spirit. Keep going onward. Keep abiding. Stay in your place. Keep walking with God. What's the benefits? Well, I don't have to have my head down when he comes. I don't have to be ashamed. When Christ comes again, I don't have to be caught out or found out. And I'm not found in my place. I'm not dwelling. I'm not walking in the Spirit of God. I don't have to have my head down in shame when he comes. I can stand and I can look diligently to his coming. And Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious, note this one please, and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's appearing. Our God is coming back. Jesus Christ. And so he says, looking diligently, looking for that blessed hope who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And so I need to continue to abide in Christ and the benefits of standing unashamed at his coming. Next definition is found in 2 Timothy 4:7. Is a very common one. We've touched on this a few times in the last couple of months of our theme. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul the Apostle says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You say, what's the definition of faithfulness? The definition is to finish. To get it done. Let me say this to you. Who's actually started projects, assignments, dreams and desires and not finished them? It ought not to be in the walk of God. If anything, not this one. We want to come to the end of the road and we want to say, you know what, God, the desires that you have given me a course, you have given me a calling. I want you to complete that in me for your glory. I want to be found faithful for your glory. You know, God wants you to allow him to finish what he started in your life. The Bible says that God is the one that worketh in you. Note it, both to will, gives you the desire, and the doing of it for his good pleasure. You say, what do I have to do? Just keep yielding to God? You say, God, I just want you to continue to finish what you started in my life. And he'll give you the desire, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. And you delight in him, he'll give you the desire, he'll give you the doing. With God's course and God's calling, will give you the enablement and the power to fulfill it and finish it. I want to encourage you, find God's will for your life and do it. So I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my gift is. But be diligent and find it. John the Baptist had a course. Paul the Apostle had a course. You have a course. You have a vocation that God has called you in somewhere in here in the church, what God's called you. I'm not talking just about being a Christian worker. You might be a mother that God wants you, or a wife that God's called you to be, a mother to your children. In what capacity that is, I don't know. But you have to seek what God is going to do with your life, and don't waste it. Don't squander it. Find that course, and in the midst of the course that God has for us, each and every single one of us is having to fight that good fight of faith. We have a challenge to keep it and finish it. And you don't know what it is, and you're perplexed or you're lost. Young people, let me say, please, I beg you, find the will of God for your life. Seek God for it. Say, God, what do you want me to do? Have purpose and have goal in your life. Don't be just letting a day go by with no purpose. That's how the world lives. Young people, you don't want to live like that. And I guarantee you, for every single person in this room, God has a plan and a purpose and a course. That's not just cliche. God has it. He wants you to find it and finish it. So I want to find God's will for me. And your will, let me say this, God's will for your life differs from me. And God's will for your life differs from, your next brother, your sister. But find it and finish it. Paul knew his God, Paul knew his calling, Paul knew his God-given purpose, and Paul knew he was finishing up and winding up here on earth, and death couldn't stop him. You say, what was the hindrance? Death. He says this, for I'm ready, in verse 6, for I'm now ready to be offered, and my time of my departure is at hand. They're about to behead me. I'm going to be beheaded. But I finished. I knew what God wanted me to do, and every time you see the epistles he wrote, Paul the Apostle, called. Paul the Apostle, called. What are you called to do? And don't let death stop you. Notice in Acts chapter 20, if you would, please turn there, Acts chapter 20. And verse 22, the Bible says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But notice he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy in the ministry which I've received of who? Of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He knew what to find, and he knew what to finish, and he knew exactly what would bring joy in his life. He says, finishing my course is what's going to bring joy. Serving my God and finishing what he's assigned me to do. I'm one of these people that finds a task, project it, and going well, but never get, it's still somewhere there. I'm going to come back to it. But I say, God, I'm not want to do this with my calling. I don't want to wander away and be unfaithful and come back to it. Because maybe I don't get an opportunity to come back. I want to know that I am. And by the way, listen, when you're out of God's will, there's no joy there. If you're a Christian, you know it. The safest place, or the happiest if you would, is to be where God wants you. He says, and Paul knew it. He says, I want to finish my course. And later on you see the prophet, Agabus, prophesying that, hey, listen, they're going to kill you over there. You better not go. He says, well, you're going to break my heart. I know what God has for me there. I don't know what's going to exactly happen, but I know he wants me there. and death's not going to stop me. That was his hindrance. But what was the benefit? Well, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, a crown of righteousness. And one day, my friend, if you have that crown of righteousness, because you fought that fight, you finished the course, and you kept the faith, one day you're going to be just casting it at his feet. What a beautiful day that is. What a benefit. What an encouragement. Not being having that crown to wear, but having that crown to cast. What a wonderful thing that is. One of the most gifted speakers in church history was John Chrysostom. The name comes from the Greek word meaning a golden tongue. John was sent from Antioch to what is then Constantinople, where he preached fearlessly in the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire. His rebuke for lavish extravagance of the rich and ruling class and his condemnation of excess made many people furious, including the empress of Eudocia, who arranged for him to be exiled. Notice what he said. He said, when he was told of his fate, Chrysostom responded, "What can I fear? Will it be death? But you know that Christ is my life and that I shall gain by death. Would it be exile? But the earth and the fullness is the Lord's. Would it be the loss of wealth? But we brought nothing into the world and we can carry nothing out. Thus, all the terrors of the world are contemptible, disgraceful," he says, "in my eyes. And I smile at all its good things. Poverty I do not fear, riches I do not sigh for, death I do not shrink from." He knew the benefit, and even death couldn't hinder him from finishing what God will have him to do. And then the last definition I want you to see is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Not only to finish, but to finish right. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, he says, "If any man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Lawfully means legitimate way. To be agreeable by the rules. And we know one thing is true. This is our rule book. Whether you or me, or whether anyone likes it or not, this is the word of God for our faith and practice. And a lot of people are putting this handbook, if you want to call it that, the best test book, the best guidebook, soul directory, the word of God, our comfort, our guide, our light. But yes, it is our rule book to what we know how to run the race. Without it, we'd be disqualified. Do we have liberty in Christ? Liberty in the book, not outside the book. A lot of people say we have liberty to run how we want, as long as you stick to the word. And we're not crowned unless we do it his way. A lot of people running their race, breaking rules, having zeal with no knowledge of God. I hate to finish and say, well, you know, waiting. And the Lord says, no. And I'm not saying this to scare you by the letter of the law. I'm not talking about the letter of the law. We have liberty in Christ to live out this book in our lives by the Spirit of God. Against such thing, there is no law. When you're walking in the Spirit, you want to do what God wants you to do. It becomes the letter of the law when you're just, and you cherry pick and you tippy toe. Or it conflicts with what you want to do in the Christian life. But when we run, we must run according to the Word of God. We want to finish right. What's the hindrance? Cutting corners? What's the hindrance? Cheating your way, manipulating, conniving? Go, please, with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And beginning from verse 23, or we'll go to verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it for what? To obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know what he's saying? He's saying, I've got to maintain discipline in my Christian race. And there is discipline, because there are some things in our lives that can just disqualify us, and we can be put on the shelf and not be used the way God intended us to be used. And you know what? It's not that we cannot be forgiven, but God's first best will for your life is what you want to attain and run. Think to myself, if I was ever disqualified because of a sin, yeah, I know I can be used again, but what about, I'll be so discouraged. I don't know if I could continue to run. It'd probably take me a while to get back running again in the way God wanted me to in this way. But the best thing to do is to keep your body in line, in check, maintaining that discipline so you don't fall into anything that would disqualify you and ruin your testimony, if you would. Paul the Apostle said, I've got to be careful lest I myself be a castaway. And folks, listen, we don't want to be a statistic. We want to make sure that we're running the race and we're, you know what, laying aside every weight and every sin which so easily besets us and we're so easily surrounded by. And at any time, at any place, the devil, he's got you lined up for that particular time and he wants you to fall. And the worst thing, when I heard my lecturer in Bible college, he had to come back from the mission field because he fell in adultery. He had a lovely family. You say, oh, does that disqualify you from? Absolutely. Sure breaks your heart. Can he be forgiven? Absolutely. May God help us not to do things in such a way where we're disqualified and we live a Christian life of regret. You know, for some people that never knew the Lord, they didn't know any better. But if you know the Lord, you know better. To much is given, much is required. Isn't that what the Lord says? And what you know, you're accountable for. And may God help us run this race with patience, with discipline. And you say, what's the benefit? Well, he says they run for a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We have a purpose in life. We have eternal treasure. Wow. Matthew 6:19, verse 20 says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We're running for a crown that fadeth not away. We thank God for that and the opportunity to be able to run in the race, to be faithful to the end, and to finish right. Let me just close off with this. It's just a little poem I found. It's an unknown author. It says, don't quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trotting seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is a queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about. When he might have won, had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near where when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. May God help us stay in the race. May God help us stay true to his word. Continue in. Be found in your place. To undergo hardship. Don't give in. Give up. Finish. May God help us finish, but finish right. So how is this going to be done? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't lose focus of him. He's your mark that you press on toward. Remember what I said this morning? If you're faithful to him, everything will fall into place. Looking unto him, have your eyes on him. Does a faithful man fall? Maybe seven times, but he gets up again. And he focuses on him again, on Jesus. And the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to him that was faithful to us, for he endured the cross. He found it joy going all the way. And may God help us stay focused on the one that was faithful. Thank God for his faithfulness. And we're going to spend right now tonight taking an opportunity to look to him through these elements.